This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. We're a little bit of a history program and we'll be nattering on today about things that keep repeating themselves. One of the songs we won't be having won't be The Lass from Wales by the name of...
Miss Bassie.
Indeed, singing one of her favourite songs.
History repeating itself.
Exactly.
But you've also got the boys from New Zealand. The Crowded House had a...
They had a thing like that, didn't
history
they?
Repeats.
By the way, that's Phil talking there and I'm Gordon.
No, I'm Phil and you're Gordon.
Yeah, is that what it is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how it was when I woke up this
And the other bloke is Chris on the other side.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, all right then.
Now we're all here, and as Chris said, we'll be having a little bit of history repeating itself, just a little bit like onion.
But enough of the doom and gloom of that as being the topic. There was an event over the weekend that feeds into lots of little sub-stories, and the event was Christine Forster, the sister of...
Mr. Abbott.
Tony Abbott. He attended her wedding with her gay partner.
They'd been together for quite a long time, about 10 years. They'd been engaged for 4 years or something, rather than they had thought of getting married overseas in one of the other countries where they could get married. And they decided that they would wait and see what happened. And, of course, her brother was...
The ex-Jesuit.
And he was most annoyed about the same-sex marriage happened because he didn't want it to happen, yet he appeared all bright and shiny at his sister's wedding. I would have thought, okay.
I guess one face isn't enough for all people.
That's right.
I didn't say anything about being two-faced.
No, well, perhaps when everybody... went onto the dance floor, he could have been dancing backwards.
Oh, yes.
We weren't shown that.
I was dancing backwards on the weekend.
Now, why was this,
well,
please?
I went to the Seniors Dance Club, which is a wonderful, wonderful afternoon or evening, because sometimes they're in the evening and sometimes they're in the afternoon on a Sunday afternoon.
Can we not put seniors and the term weekend in the same sentence?
Oh, okay.
I hate the thought of a senior with a weekend.
Yeah, right. But they had the Seniors Dance Club on Sunday. And it was very... It's a wonderful, wonderful way. It's very casual. Everybody's there. There's women and men. And it doesn't matter. There were young people there as well. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. It's at the Fitzroy Town Hall.
It was a relaxed event and it was a safe environment.
Oh, very, very safe, yeah. And it's just such a pleasure to go out and talk to people and not have to worry about what you're doing. And everybody was dancing and Beck, the leader of the dance part, she gets up on the stage and does the things that you're supposed to do while you're dancing and all the rest of it, just to lead people that don't know how. And it's just wonderful. And if I would recommend that anybody that's feeling a bit lonely to get along to the Seniors Dance Club. It's the way to find out what's happening is you go to the website or the Facebook or the website. All the Queen's Men is the group that run this, and Tristan is the fellow in charge who we've had in here at the studio. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The next one is the first Thursday in March, in the evening from 5 to 7:30, and that will be on at the Fitzroy Town Hall as well. But there's supper, provided, drinks provided, coffee, whatever you want.
Wow.
Just a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a couple of hours with people that are enjoying themselves.
Is this dancing with a partner?
You dance with a partner and sometimes you dance by yourself. They do different things. They they do the nut bush. Everybody loves the nut bush. They all get up and do the nut bush. And then they do the Macarena. Do they
do the chicken dance?
Oh, occasionally they've done that. Yeah, it's just for the hell of it. But we
free range?
Free range, yeah, yes. But they do progressive dances, so you're meeting everybody as they pass in your, through the system.
Do you have to wear your own ruby red slippers, or are they provided?
No, if you've got some ruby red slippers, I'm sure they'd be welcome. You could wear them.
Do you tap your heels together?
If you tap your heels together, you might break your ankles.
But you're not in Kansas anymore after you do that.
That's right, yes. But honestly, I can guarantee it's such a wonderful, wonderful place to be. If you're a senior or even a junior and you would like to go and meet people of like-minded, like us, like the rest of us are.
Yeah. Sounds terrific.
It's a great time.
So combining those two concepts of dancing and weddings, apparently there are, in other states, newfangled dance academies where people are taught how to dance backwards. I mean, same-sex couples are given the treatment so that when they have their wedding and the...
They do the bridal waltz or something.
Bridal waltz. Yes, well, yes. Both partners can do it graciously.
Yeah, but the article in the paper sort of mentioned the place in Brisbane who was a dance studio and start teaching. But we've got our own gay dance studio here in Melbourne.
We do.
And they would teach you to do the bridal waltz if you wanted to.
I'm sure.
They teach you all the dances. That's Dance Cats, isn't it?
Dance Cats is the name of the mob.
And they would be able to teach you how to dance at your own wedding, which you are now allowed to do. Hip, hip, hooray.
Indeed.
What? Have they not outlawed dancing?
No, I don't think they could outlaw dancing. You know, there's an old saying that if you dance well with someone, you have very good... times in bed together.
Oh, that's vertical dancing and horizontal dancing.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, if you're a very good vertical dancer, you can be a very good horizontal dancer with the person you're dancing with.
I'd better stop dancing with girls then. Get myself in all kinds of trouble.
But it's amazing. That's a very old saying because you get into the rhythm of the way things work. You know.
Yeah.
And you get home and you haven't got the music and think, well, now what do we do?
Nature takes over, fella.
Oh.
We need to remember an anniversary that happened on the 27th of January. It is the opportunity for us to remember Holocaust Memorial Day, remembering the victims of Holocaust, the Nazi persecution, and subsequent genocides in Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia, and Darfur. As well as those other more modern events, I think, though, that we as a gay community need to stand up and notice the persecution and recall the persecution that our community suffered at those occasions.
At the hands of Hitler and his mob, in the camps, yes, you're right.
A lot of times people are identified as being a minority group and therefore... they've got to be brought back into line. Even like that Indonesian province of Aceh. They're with the Sharia law, they're getting a little bit aggressive for trans people and gay people. You know, Hitler and that mob, the Nazis, they used the pink triangle on their prison suits, on the clothing that the gay people had to wear, and they were clearly identified for their sexuality and their gender.
Human nature is a funny thing because every now and again we do these dreadful things to our own people, to the people that are around us, you know.
Pick on the weakest.
Yeah.
But like, he was cleansing Germany, wasn't he? Killing gays is so pointless because we're not a religion. We're not a belief system. We're actual people who are going to be born in the future as well as the ones that they've knocked off in the past. So by killing a generation... you don't prevent the future generations. So there's really no point at all.
There's no point in making martyrs or killing off the gay community because they don't breed. Well, they didn't in those days, but we can do now because of the way things are working.
Yeah, but straight people have gay children.
Well, that's usually the thing. Yes, that's usually the thing. So they're the people that if you don't want to have gays, you've got to kill everybody.
But in the words of an old Doritos ad, eat all the Doritos you want, we'll make more.
Oh.
So same with the gay community.
Yeah, well, that's pretty well right too, yeah.
Well, we've got Capital Cities here playing a little song called Safe and Sound. We hope you're safe and sound today, or tucked up in bed, or out on the walk, or listening to our podcast. I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for joining us. Some things happen too frequently, like birthdays.
Oh.
They're getting more frequent.
They come around very quickly these days.
But we sometimes keep making the same mistakes, and we learn by our mistakes, by repeating them and then realising that perhaps we have been doing the wrong thing. We should take more responsibility for our own actions, maybe. One of the things that keeps happening, however, in Australia during summer are bushfires.
Yes, they are tragic.
Tasmania is not immune, although it's a colder climate than us.
Victoria is one of the New South Wales are the main fire states, aren't
but
they?
South Australia as well, and the West.
Oh, yes.
We've got all this native vegetation that builds
this oil
up.
It does.
And it just spontaneously combusts, or lightning starts it, or then you've got those terrible rascals that go along.
And those idiots that go around, doing it deliberately.
So we've got this huge bonfire that's likely to take off.
So far this year, though, Chris, we've been very, very lucky. We haven't had any fires in the bush here in Victoria. They've had some grass fires around the areas, but nothing really is as a big, huge thing that we normally get.
No, I think our last one was King Lake, 2008 or something like that.
Yep.
And I read last week or something that a powerful owl has returned.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To that particular
area.
Part of the world. Yeah.
But of course,
It's taken 10 years to recover.
You've got to remember, of course, that the indigenous population used to do this deliberately. They would burn an area because they knew it regenerated everything. They would do it deliberately, but they knew when to do it so that it was done probably before the main hot season came. You know, they probably did it in a cooler time so that they had control of it. And then they'd move on to the next area where they'd stay for probably 10 years or so, and then onto another area after they'd burnt that one out. They used to work like in a triangle.
But they do this today up in the northwest of the country.
Yeah.
Because my brother a few years ago was driving his family through there.
Yeah.
And they went through an area that was on fire. And they stopped at the next town and said, you know, should we be reporting the fire? And they said, no, just let it go.
Just let it go. That's what they're doing. They're doing it to... The Australian bush regenerates through fire, which is the main thing.
Well, the gum trees propagate that way.
That's right, yes. And a lot of other plants do as well.
So what we've done is had the more, Western approach. Well, fuel reduction is a good idea, but we've basically said, we'll just find better ways to put them out.
Yeah.
Whereas to a large degree, we should let them burn. And then where there's humanity, where somebody's living close to a fire-prone area, we need to reduce the fuel. So don't build your house next to that beautiful tree, which is going to explode on a 47-degree day and burn your house down.
Or it's going to fall over and collapse your house, yes.
So we need to look to the past, to the historic past, and learn, live and let live, let the fires burn, because they're doing a job, and not think, well, we're white man, we know best, we'll just put it out, we'll get bombers from the sky and all these sort of things.
But see, the indigenous people just knew when to burn, how to burn, and all the rest of it, then they would move on.
Gordon, I think that might be applied probably on the grasslands, but I don't know how the forests would have been treated.
But they probably didn't burn off in the middle of summer, which would be a thing. You know, they would probably burn off when it was cooler, and so it would keep control of it. They're a very clever race about living in this country. They're a hell of a lot cleverer than the interlopers who came and settled.
They've had more practice than us.
Yeah, a hell of a lot more practice.
60,000 years.
Yeah, so they knew how to work the country. Yeah, and it just annoys me that we don't take any notice of what they did.
Well, maybe we will learn. But I was in Tasmania a while back, and it was so sad to see the Mount Wellington behind Hobart with all these white sentinels, all these huge old tree trunks that had been burnt out in 1938 or whereabouts, and they were still standing. They're very valuable habitat for wildlife, but the rest of the forest hasn't yet grown tall enough, to level it out again.
Yeah, and this is what happens, of course, with the animal life in those situations, of course, have suffered greatly. Or you see the photos now when you see a fire with the kangaroos fleeing in front of it and the other slower animals sort of trying to keep in front of it, but it's almost impossible for them to do it because the fires go so fast, because they get the winds behind them and the updrafts and all the rest of it, which causes them to just keep...
And the fires travel at the treetops,
and they go at the
not necessarily at the ground level.
Yeah.
In the canopy.
Exactly.
I love my technical words.
You're very good with them. You're very good with them, Philip.
Some other countries have actually learnt that our wonderful eucalypt trees are not so wonderful.
California, for instance. They were used to export gum trees to California.
And one of the nicest things to do was to go to the Presidio in San Francisco.
Oh, yes. Which
is the area near the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
After a rain or their thick fog.
Yeah.
And just breathe in that eucalyptus smell. And they had lots of gum trees on Angel Island, which is in San Francisco Bay. And just recently, I hear, they've taken out all these decades-old gum trees, beautiful, huge, what I consider, you know, the tree of home.
Yeah.
They've removed them all because they weren't American natives. And
that'd be right, yes.
The islanders class as a national park.
Are they going to build a fence to stop everybody, any foreign invasion, are they?
Build one to keep one man out.
Yeah.
Or for Abbott a place to put him.
That would be nice.
What I wonder was the native vegetation there?
Not a lot. There didn't seem to be much. San Francisco Bay is not
a bit further
the nicest place to grow anything.
Yeah, but
it's pretty cold.
A bit further south, they've got those big trees in those redwoods that are growing up, aren't they?
That's a bit north, actually.
Is it north of San Francisco?
Yep.
I thought we passed through them when we were driving up to.
Oh, you must have been sitting upside down.
Up near Carmel.
They've got some pretty big trees there, but the huge ones are north, up in the wine country.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but I can remember seeing these huge trees around Carmel and Monterey.
Carmel's really hard to drive through because it's sticky and it's just melted sugar, basically.
That's caramel.
No, they pronounce it caramel. They do. And the same with...
they leave the extra A out.
With soldering, they call it soldering.
Well, they say...
They're just very strange pronunciers.
They say aluminum. They don't say aluminium.
That's right. But aluminum. They spell aluminum.
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear.
We get away from language back to fires.
Yeah. No, well, we've got to realise that the forests are the lungs of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And burning the trees will allow them to regenerate generally, or the undergrowth. But devastation, just cutting down the forests...
For the sake of money.
Or...
Palm oil.
That's what they're doing in Indonesia. Oh. All the colonels own the land and they're just cutting down
the trees.
Nuts. Yeah, they're nuts, yeah. They're not colonels, they're nuts. And they're cutting down the trees and planting palm oil trees. And palm oil is one of the worst things you can possibly grow, apparently, from what I read.
Well, we shouldn't be buying products that use it.
That's right.
But we do,
because we're
not informed.
And you find it very difficult to find the ingredients of palm oil on any label.
Well, I don't know what the modern soap is, but palm olive... would have been palm oil and olive oil.
No, that was for your hand, palm olive.
I don't think olive appreciated that.
As long as Popeye kept eating his spinach, yes.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, but it was just one of those things, you know. It's the trees are a necessary part of the human habitation. And, of course, when we got into the country in Australia here, we cut so much of it down to make farmland so that they could grow wheat and grow sheep, run sheep. But the vegetation in Australia has decreased, or I think it's about 60% or something or other.
It has.
Mm.
Mm. Well, let's celebrate with Empire of the Sun.
Oh, yes, I like this group. They're great.
They're Australian.
Yeah.
A little bit odd in their dress and everything, however.
Who cares?
Cross the ocean wave. find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil, been there, done that on Joy 94.9. It's us little people doing our little thing here.
And we're bringing our own flavour of joy to you.
We're all joy, joy, joy.
In our little chat that just finished before the music,
yes,
we were talking about human habits from the modern person and the modern society and its quest for destruction, it would seem. Destruction of our environment and our seas. And we were greeted last week with all that wonderful news that recycling, as we know it, is going to be a thing of the past soon.
That's not a very good idea, I feel, because I think we're going to be in a deep lot of doo-doo by the time they
of our own making. And one of the little things that's been annoying the scientists has been the proliferation of microbeads in society. They're little minuscule pieces of plastic that are used for abrasive purposes in some of our cleaning things, some of our face, or the face scrubs.
Faces and scrubs like this. All that sort of stuff.
And it's entering the food chain, not at the top of the food chain, but at the very, very primal area.
Yes, well, people, animals are eating it out of, if it's in the grass or somewhere, and then the fish are eating it because it's in the water, goes into the water, and then it comes back into us because we eat them that have been eating that, you know.
Which is not very smart. So I think, though, that we're going to have to be thinking up new ways, rather than exporting our rubbish to China, to actually reuse or get some value out of products that we use at the end of life.
I did read an article about people saving, and so you can go almost rubbish-free, a rubbish-free lifestyle, if you do the right thing, if you work shop properly, you know. When I go to a supermarket, I never put fruit and vegetables into plastic bags.
But the worst thing that we have is not the supermarket stuff necessarily, it's the big items.
The packaging.
The packaging and the big items. When you get a TV set, you got all that cardboard, all the polystyrene. All of these things are actually recyclable, but we've got to actually split it up a lot better than we're doing at the moment.
But the worst thing with polystyrene, of course, is that you're not allowed to put that in your recycle bin. That is one of the things they say, do not put polystyrene in this bin. You can put it in the rubbish bin, so then it goes into landfill. But you're not supposed to put it in your recycle bin.
Just on the subject of packaging, because I'm witnessing this at the moment, there are apartments being built literally across the street from me. They're getting their appliances at the moment, and they're coming from Germany. I won't mention the brand. But they've got minimal packaging. It's like on the corners.
Oh, just
instead of being... Yep. Like you buy your fridge and it's covered in cardboard and all this sort of stuff. This is the bare minimum, which I've been most impressed by.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is what you can do. This is what companies can do. Use the bare minimum of packaging. But it's just the over-packaging and the over-protecting things of stuff. And it's the way they package fruit and food and stuff that you buy, you know. It's just unbelievable.
Well, see, plastic has been used to take over from other materials.
Paper.
To make life easier. But now we've got to undo a lot of those habits, like glitter.
Oh, I wear tons of that whenever I go out.
And this sounds like an attack on our community.
but glitter, in fact, started out as being a product of a natural mineral.
Yes.
Yeah. However, it's been morphed into plastic. These micro beads.
Yeah, plastics. Yeah.
So that you can get a wider range of actual glitter colours. So if, in fact, those products were outlawed, then
What the gay community do at a party?
We would have to go back to our original glitter.
Using mica.
Mica.
Well, can't use mica. I need it.
Well, it'd be pretty heavy to throw up.
MICA is the natural material that
does glitter when it's very, very finely crushed.
Oh, yeah. So that's my train pass.
Yeah,
that's my key.
Yeah, that's my key.
Oh, all these similar words.
But even the pearl shell from the old...
Oh, sweet mother of pearl.
that we used to make buttons out of.
That's right, yes.
Or... Abalone, there's a little layer there that is glittery. Perhaps there could be a new industry making that as the source of glitter for us to throw around.
Yeah, because
if I can just stand up for the poor abalone, they're being fished out and they're very much protected.
But the thing with that pearl shell, as you say, once upon a time it was used for making buttons, but now it's all plastic buttons, so you don't get those pearl shell buttons anymore, which is a problem. So, they could be using that rather than plastics. And plastics are made basically from oil, aren't they, Phil?
Petroleum. Yeah, we've got plenty of oil.
Oh, yeah?
And that hasn't posed any problems historically, has it?
But no. The scientists have now got to work out how to convert the plastic back into oil. Another product that can be used.
Well, there's a lot of park benches around town which are recycled tyres.
Recycled plastic, yes.
And there's a road in China allegedly made out of old Robbie Williams records.
Oh, stop it. No, don't.
They pulped them and turned them into roadways.
No, look, please.
I think they could
I just throw in here the fact that on the 13th of February, Robbie Williams is having a birthday. He was born in 1961. But
isn't that old?
Yeah, but
stop that, Philip. But that's naughty.
Wasn't only Robbie Williams that they mangled. They mangled everybody who didn't sell the records. If the record company produced too many, they would just sell them to China. They mangle them and put them down as road surfacing.
Well, I only heard about Robbie Williams. That's all I can. That's all I'm qualified to say.
No, well, what they're doing with glass is crushing it into fine dust and then putting that in road mix.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it's doing. It's strengthening it? I don't know whether it's making it glittery.
Probably not even glittery. I think it would be a bit like, what do they call it? The small metal that they put into road mixes. There's aggregate, yes.
But that's usually just stone.
That's stone. But I think glass is something that doesn't sort of break down at all.
Well, it can be with heat.
Mm. But it is very easily recycled.
Yeah.
In fact, in the old days, or when Westgate Bridge opened, you could see green mountains and brown mountains and white mountains of recycled glass.
Yeah. But I want to know why Australia has never gone into some company, has never built a recycling factory like they have in Germany, for instance. There's one place in Germany, I've seen it on the television, where it sorts everything out and everything is then recycled and made into something else.
Well, you see, that is a habit that came out of World War II, when all materials were scarce and whatever was knocked down during the war was then sorted out, and anything that was of reuse could be reused.
America have a similar system. It's called Judge Judy. You go to her and she will sort anything out. Not a problem.
Well, see, I walked past the other day past that new hole in the ground that's in Swanson Street where the new underground railway station is going.
Yeah.
They're so deep down there. But when I walked past, the whole hole was filled with the reinforcement that goes in concrete, that steel reinforcement.
The rebar.
Well, that could be it could be smelted down again, put back in and turned into liquid.
Well, we don't have many smelters left, do we?
We don't have that. You see, this is all these things happen.
But there is an Indian man who's going to take over the Wyala facilities and get that going again.
Is he?
Yeah.
Not the one that's going to build the coal mine.
No, not Mr. Adani.
Oh, good. But this is the problem. We could recycle here, but we've done
India's
nothing about doing it.
Well, India's got a very good habit already of taking all the old shipping and breaking it down into small little pieces of metal that can be
It just turned out to be a boom industry for children.
Yes.
What?
The children various documentaries I've seen, little kids pulling boats apart.
Mm. Oh.
Mm.
So nothing's perfect.
Definitely not.
There's something happens with each one of these things that happen, but it's just, but we should be recycling. We should be looking after it ourselves, not bothering about sending it off to China. Because we've got plenty of open space to build a bloody factory, for God's sake.
There must be solutions, and if we haven't got current solutions, we've got to invent some.
And they could invent it, they could put it into recyclable, renewable energy things so that they didn't have to worry about the power.
Or you could burn it and generate electricity from that.
Yeah,
lots of air pollution. Mm. Lots of air pollution is happening, as from yesterday, in Canberra.
Oh,
Parliament's resitting again.
That's hot air, though. That's all hot air.
And we can't tap it.
You
can't
tap
put
all
it
that
to use.
That reusable, recyclable, non whatever.
It's energy. Going to be a very interesting 12 months ahead. So many problems having been created by the dual citizenship.
We're
going to be having state elections and the federal election maybe.
South Australia, Tasmania's coming up, then South Australia, then Victoria all this year. And then but they did say that the federal government would be very loath to go to an early election at the moment.
They need as long a break as they can get.
Yeah.
I wanted to open a waffle shop in Canberra, but they said it wasn't necessary.
There's enough waffle already.
Oh, you're a funny lad.
Yeah, but my member for federal parliament here at Joy on the weekend.
Mr. Wilson,
yes.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Tim Wilson talking about his...
Him
proposed to his husband to be. Yes. Yeah,
in parliament.
Yes.
Well, that was a first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that happens with a less frequency that is also actually referred to in our activities in Parliament is the royalty, the British royalty that we've had, we've still got, and of course, was back in 1952, wasn't it? The 6th of February,
when King George VI died and Elizabeth became the Queen.
Now, she's been on the throne for 65 years.
Oh, I hope something moves eventually.
Prunes.
Did you see her on the TV, though?
No, I've recorded it because I was watching.
I won't. Tell you the pitch line there.
All right.
You can't have a spoiler alert on something that happened all those years ago.
Yeah, but...
There's some elements of the pageantry that are delicious. They're useless. They're only symbolic, but it's part of the glue that holds government and the state together.
And this is where the British do it so well, with those pageants and all the rest of it. When you look at the coaches, when all the gold is gleaming and all the men walking along with all their beautiful...
All the pomp and circumstance.
Offer the opposite, that look at what the US is doing at the moment. They're crucifying the position of President of the US with the current incumbent, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, but sometimes he deserves it, what he says.
They're crueling their own history.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like all empires, though, you know, because you had the Roman Empire that failed, the British Empire is shrinking, and now the American Empire is shrinking.
But this is the system at work.
Hmm.
Anybody born in America can grow up to be president. What we have right now is dismal proof of that. To be president, you need to be born in America, which is what Mr. Trump was trying to say about Mr. Obama, that he was born in Kenya, which is
stupid because he was born...
Kenya's never been in Hawaii.
He was born in Hawaii, yeah. But you see, then we have the trouble with dual citizenship, which is you can be born in Australia, which makes you an Australian, but if you want to stand for Parliament, you can't have a parent that came from another country. To me, it's absolutely stupid, totally and utterly.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Gordon.
Yeah.
Your turn to talk.
My turn to talk.
Have you got a big brother?
Oh, yeah, I did have one, but he's passed away, so I don't have a big brother anymore. But I just wanted to mention that our... wonderful Courtney Act, this wonderful Australian drag superstar, won the Celebrity Big Brother in England over the weekend. Just on the weekend, yes. It came through on the Gay Google News, which I get, and they had a little video of the announcement of the winner, and she was sitting there with Amanda Muggleton, who is a pretty dour-looking woman, and they were... wondering who was going to win it, and Amanda said, "Well, look, I do hope you win it, dear. You look gorgeous," sort of thing, you know. And then they went on and on with a drum roll. I think the drum roll went for about 3 minutes.
Well, that's how these shows fill in the hour.
And then they said, "And the winner is drum roll, Courtney Act," you know. And Courtney was very, I think she sort of knew she was going to win it, but and then they Amanda had to walk out, and she said, "Good luck, darling," she said, to Courtney Acton. Courtney was very charming.
But he is very pretty.
Oh yes, 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 and he was very good the way he did it. He was very nice and all the rest of it. But of course, when he went into the to the Big Brother house, he was wearing a long sort of dress skirty thing, and he walked past somewhere, it got caught in part of the balustrading or something, and then ripped his skirt off, and he was sort of virtually left standing in his undies.
That's one way to get popular.
Yeah, well, I guess it is. But he had to turn around, pick it up and tie the skirt around him, and he got a bit further on and the same thing happened, it fell off again, sort of thing. So poor Courtney going into the thing didn't have a very good entry, but she had a great exit.
But he had a very good start to his career on Australian Idol.
Oh, yeah,
because he competed as himself, as male, yeah, and female.
Yeah, and he won, and as a female.
Got through.
Yeah, that's right. And then, he was very big on RuPaul Drag Show, Drag Race, the RuPaul Drag Race in America. He was very, very popular on that as well. So good luck to Courtney Act. Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, and of course, we've got some few birthdays coming up this week too, haven't we?
We've just mentioned Robbie Williams having one on the 13th of February, but Peter Allen on the 10th of February, 1944.
Great entertainer.
He was born, indeed, singer, songwriter, entertainer, died on the 18th of June, 1992, but he is the man who popularised "I Go to Rio" as a song.
Never been there.
No.
But you feel like you have because of the song.
There's this song, yeah.
Well, was he born with glitter?
Well, he did have a lot of glitter in his shows, I can tell you, because he appeared at the Palais Theatre for about 10 nights while I was working there, and we saw him every night.
You wouldn't want to sweep up after that.
Oh, and he was just brilliant. Every night he just gave 110 performances, percent of his
But he thing. Also wrote our second anthem. National anthem,
I Still Call Australia Home.
Australia Home.
But the other one is the other one that I really like too. Is it's only a song. They're both only songs. They're not anthems. As the "We Are Australian," that is a very good song that the Seekers sang.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's the one they sang in Parliament House when they passed the vote, the yes vote. Yeah.
Now that was it's interesting that you can actually have anthems that bring a lump to the throat, a tear to the eye, and it shows how effective they are if they keep doing that each time they're repeated.
There's another. I was reading the paper the other day that the Canadian government had been castigated quite a bit because they have said our son. There's a line that says our sons and something or other.
Yeah.
And he said now they've changed it to we are us. They've changed the words from son to us.
Gender neutral.
Gender
now.
Neutral now. Yes. And the people are very. Some of the people are very, very annoyed because they said the sons refer to the people that were lost at the war or something or other. And anyhow. Yeah, but they've had a big discussion over it in Canada. But
they could write a letter and their mail carrier will take it for them.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Not the mailman.
Not the mail carrier, yeah. But that's the thing is, you see, we really need to get a proper anthem because our song is not a really real anthem.
We need a song without Gert.
Oh, what will Gert say if she gets dropped?
Well, that's giggling Gertie. Yeah. She'll laugh it off.
Oh, will she? Right, okay.
But we're girt by sea.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that it's really not an anthem. It's only a song.
But you don't want something like the American anthem. We're rockets, red flares.
There are two great anthems, three that I really like. One's the Marseillaise from France, which is so great. Then there's the Canadian one. The Canadian one is "Oh Canada" is a great anthem. And New Zealand. New Zealand have a lovely anthem. It is a beautiful, beautiful anthem.
Well, I think the French one was actually
a war song. It was to.
It was the people versus.
That's right. Aux armes. To arms. Let's kill the buggers. Yes. That's what they're singing. Basically, you're singing about.
Well, before a football match, fair enough.
Yeah, but it is one of the great anthems. Yeah.
On the 8th of February, 1931. I know that's almost. Last century. Well, it is the middle of the last century.
Before the middle of the last century, excuse me.
James Dean, the US actor, was born and he died in 1955.
He was only about 23, 24 when he died, wasn't he?
What was the name of the film?
East of Eden.
It was a Rebel.
The Rebel Without a Clause.
With a clue. That's, no. It was called Rebel Without a Clause, but it was Rebel Without a Clue. He was not very rebellious.
He was 24 when he died, yeah. And I don't know that, all right, let me talk it in a positive way. I think he was a very good example of guys not quite mature at that age of 24.
Well, he was basically bisexual, because he was having an affair with one guy when he died.
But okay, that's one point.
Yeah, but he was very good, and he didn't. He reached the point of his acting career in the other one, East of Eden, when he was the troubled sort of bloke in that, and that was a very good movie.
He managed to do that without too much struggle. That was him to a T. But that was the other thing. He popularized the white T-shirt with the blue jeans.
Oh, God, yes. That was become a uniform. Everybody had the white T-shirt, the blue jeans.
And
yes.
Somewhat ironically, a few weeks before he died in a car accident, he did a CSA... A community safety, service announcement for road safety.
That's right, yes.
Did he?
2 weeks later he killed himself. Yes. Yeah.
In his Porsche.
Mm. But see, that age, it's. I guess teenagers now are more in that mindset that I can't conceive myself of dying.
Well, when you're that age, you're immortal. Mm. You're immortal. You've got your whole life in front of you, so you are immortal.
But it's sounding a bit rough, though. I honestly believe he's known now and he's famous now because he died young.
Well, they all are. Look at all the singers that died young, and they're so famous.
Yeah,
you know,
because if they'd been left to sustain a career, let's use Elton John as an example.
Yeah,
he's had hits in every decade.
That's right,
and he can sustain his work now, although he's announced his retirement.
Yeah, from touring. You still do recordings, but he's not going to tour.
But yeah, I have a feeling if James Dean had lived to be a certain age, we would just let him fade away.
Well, he may have finished up like Anthony Perkins, you know, who was a very good-looking young man who was gay as all get out.
Yeah, but he turned psycho on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I see a violin anywhere near a bathroom, I'm not going in.
I think it's time for us to draw a close to this program.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Yes, and I hope you have another great week.
And we'll say good night from me.
Good night for him, Mim.
And bye-bye for me.
Thanks, we'll cop you later. Bye.
Yep, bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.